Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Di. And hi, Angels.
Hey.
How are you? We're back here today, and it's Memorial Day weekend, and I'm just glad that anybody that downloads the show later or listens to it now, we certainly want to recognize and give credit to our veterans, and not only our veterans, but those who are serving today. And we appreciate everything you guys do, and thank you for protecting our country. And on that note, so thanks. And today we got a show. And has anybody ever gotten Dear Jane or Dear John letter, right? That sucks, man, you know. So what do you do when your great guy or your great girl that you thought you're going to be with forever leaves you and you are just devastated? And how do you move forward? And how do you find closure? And then also, how can you find happiness? And we're going to hear from a couple people today, or at least one person. And believe it or not, we have a guy that's going to call in and share. So, you know, yeah, that's kind of cool. We always get the women. But this time we're going to get the guy. Hear from the guy. I'd actually asked for about three or four people. But everybody's celebrating the holiday, you know, and you and I are working, and I've interfered on your day off, so it's all good. I know closure is hard, right? You know, you can be angry and bitter and live in the past. I've seen people do that, too. So, oh, I got over him, but he's a dirtbag or she's a dirtbag or whatever you want to say. You know, not so many nice things about your ex, right? And that sucks because, you know, you know, if you're talking bad about your ex and you're talking about him or her, you know, and you're very angry, that's okay. But if it's been 10 years and you're still angry, you probably need to look at that because you're taking all that anger and all that stuff to every relationship you have, whether it's business and or personal. So that's what I do know. But I know you went through that with closure yourself, and I remember you being very angry. I also remember you being very hopeful that he would come and show up for you in the right way, where you had dreams about it. So you tell us about your own journey and how you overcame that. Because I'd love to know that. So how did you do it? What happened?
So you know what? You said something to me before we got on the show when you said it's a process, and that is exactly what it is. I mean, it doesn't just go away in a hurry. You it takes so long. Well, I should say it takes so long for some of us to get over people. I mean, I know there's other people who can bounce back really fast, but I think when you're really in love with someone and you really believe that's the person you're supposed to be with, and then they walk away from you or do something to destroy the relationship, it's really difficult to let go of that dream that you had. You know, it's like little by little. It's like taking, you know, an eighth of a step every day. I mean, honestly, you can't just give up on that dream and turn around and go after somebody different. It's really a process of slowly letting go of that person, and it's not just that person, but that dream that you had of you two being together, of that relationship that the two of you had together. But you have to, and what you just said was key, where if you're so bitter and angry at him, you won't bring another relationship into your life. And so you have to get to the point where you can think of them in a loving way and you can think of them and wish them well before, I think, before God's going to let you have somebody else. I really do. So you can either be bitter and angry and alone for years or you can forgive that person and wish them well. And then I think the door gets opened up for you to have a new partner. But that's what I really think. It's so difficult. I mean, obviously, you watched me go through it for several years. It took me several years. And it was just baby steps. And it's, I think different things work for different people. And I had to be by myself for a while. You know, I just had to be alone and look at what I wanted and why I allowed myself to have, you know, less than what I wanted. And, you know, so I mean, other people, they may do better by just getting back out into the dating scene right away. But I really felt like I needed this time to, you know, let that person go. So I think it's different for everybody. But I think what you said was absolutely true, that you if you're angry and bitter, then you're going to be angry and bitter for 10 years.
Yeah, right. And you have to go through the anger. I'm going to agree with that. And but one of the things, because I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he's actually on the 30-day challenge. He said he's made an agreement not to. He wants to break off the relationship totally and be free of, you know, of his ex. And and so that was it was something like that where he's not going to talk to him or connect with him this week, right? And but I said, you know, I told him, I said, I'd like you to share how you're finding peace and closure, and it's a journey. So the first thing I think is to realize that it is a journey, it's a process. Most time doesn't happen overnight. It does. God bless you. The other thing I think that we need to remember too is that it starts with your intention of this relationship. I need to move ahead. And what I always share with people, if it's meant to be, you guys will work out, okay? And if it's not meant to be, then you're going to find somebody better. And sometimes it's so obvious that it's not going to work out because that person is abusive or that person is, you know, lazy or undisciplined or whatever. There's so much there, you know. And you say, I'm going to walk away from this relationship and work on myself. And that's exactly what you do. And so to realize it's a process, make your intention to walk away from this person. And for obvious reasons, it can be abuse, and you know you're not going to go back usually. And sometimes you do, but most of the time, you know, when you make that intention, you find somebody better. And then the second thing is, and this is something that I really realized too as well, is really be clear with what you're looking for, okay? Because if you haven't healed that stuff, you're going to attract the same woman or the same man that you've attracted before. On some level, right? And you and I both know that. You know, so how did you overcome that? Because I think that you dated a couple of guys after you broke up with you know, your ex, and and some they reminded you of him, right? On certain levels, right? Not
on certain levels.
Okay, so
exactly. That's completely true. Completely true. And that because I hadn't really healed up that part, you know, and so that's why I was dating people who represented my ex in one form or another, and I realized that at least, and that's when I really kind of checked out as a dating case.
Cause you
I got
gotcha.
You.
Okay, why am I attracted to
a person like that? You know, what is it? Why do I keep gravitating towards a person like this, or whatever it is that you're. You find yourself with it's different for everybody, but that's what you have to notice it first. You know, you have to see. Wait a minute, you know, I'm dating the new person, and they have this quality in them that was just like the last person that made me upset all the time, or whatever it is. You have to realize that's not their fault. If you were attracted to that again. Because you hadn't healed it up the last time. And so, you know, you have to really start looking at that and start realizing you probably saw that quality right when you met them, and you chose to ignore it. You chose to look away and say, oh, but they're all these other things. But the fact is that one quality is probably the very reason that you wanted to see that person again, even though you're telling yourself, no, that's the only thing I don't like about him. And I saw that in myself. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you thought, you know, I'm dating these guys who had similar quality that I hadn't dealt with that part of me yet that had been attracted to a quality that did not make me feel good. So then once you finally work on that and you really address that issue in you, you're not attracted to that quality anymore, and you seriously are not. And you'll see it right away. You'll see it, you know, when you meet someone first time out. You'll see, uh-oh, this person has this quality. And it doesn't matter what. I won't even say a quality because, I mean, there's something that everybody has
maybe.
Like a soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so whatever it is that kind of really rubs you the wrong way, that really makes you work on your own issues, that's what you're going to see in everybody that you're attracted to, until you heal that in yourself, and then you will start getting attracted to the right person who does not make you feel less than, you know, who makes you feel worthy. And boy, it's tough though. It's tough, and that's why I was asking you. I know this came from one of our listeners, somebody who asked, you know, offered to, you know, gave you a suggestion for a topic, I was wondering who it was, you know, what, where they were at in their own healing process, because it's so hard when you lose someone that you really believe was meant to be, you know, when you really think that was the person you were supposed to be with. It's just so difficult to move on. But I remember you, and in fact, we talked about this in our book, about soulmates, and, people need to know, you know, if the person that really felt like they were their true soulmate or twin flame or whatever, you know, however they choose to look at it, if they choose to walk away, you know, they need, you need to remember that God will send you, it's like in retail, of equal or greater value. You will have, you will have a replacement. You will have a substitution. And so, and I think so many people realize that too. After they've let somebody go who has hurt them and hurt them and hurt them, but they just truly believe that, oh my God, this person is meant to be, you know, they were meant to be and they'll never be somebody else. And then you finally let that person go and then you meet the new person. How many people don't say, oh my God, why did I put up with that last one for so long? I'm so in love. I'm so in love. This person I'm with is the right person for me. But, you know, there's a lot of us are really slow learners, and we have to go through that heartbreak over and over and over again before we finally say, okay, let me take a look at this. You know, why am I attracted to this? And, you know, when you start getting really clear on what it is you want after you've let the last person go, then you'll start finally bringing it in, because you really will be clear on what you want and what you deserve. When you finally stop believing that you deserve less than, that's when you will finally get what you want. So, but it's really hard. It's really hard to move on. But it, and it's like you said, it's definitely a process. It's like some days you're just right back at square one. You know, you feel like you've done all this work on yourself and you're moving along, and something happens or something reminds you, or it's a special occasion or a day or whatever, and it just sets you totally back, and you're like digging yourself out all over again. And, you know, anybody who's ever gone through a heartbreak knows that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it takes a while, unless there are some people, I think, that can easily bounce back. But, you know, when they do, I always wonder, were they really in love in the first place?
There you go. Well, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring Tracy on in just a second, but I got to go get him, I think, because I don't see him on here. The deal. Yeah, that's fine, because it might be a problem with the studio here. To remember this, and Di, this is important. So when you're saying, okay, I attracted this because, let me give you an example. If you're attracting, let's say, someone who is emotionally abusive, or someone who puts you down, you know, which is emotionally abusive, or I'm going to share this with you. On some level, you're recreating that whole thing again. From the child, and usually it starts in early childhood. Let me give you an example. I have a friend of mine that she didn't get a great deal of love from her mother, and she didn't get a great deal of love from her dad, and so she attracted a man that didn't give her love, okay? You know what I mean? And he's emotionally abusive and physically abusive and that kind of thing. Terrible, isn't it? But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The law of attraction, you create everything you experience, all right? And you chose it before you ever got here.
I agree.
So, you know, my mother was not a strong woman. She was, but she, you know, she, like, catered to my father. And as a result of that, you know, I love my parents dearly. My mom since left, you know, and my dad's a strong man, and so is my mom in her own way. But I remember attracting that into my own life, like where I was super strong, you know, that I didn't want to be a man to ever take advantage of me. And what did I do? Is my first relationship that I was married to, really, he took a lot of advantage of me, and it taught me a lesson. I go, okay, where is this coming from? And I remember working on it. It was from my mother, you know what I mean? And you know, she just let my father, you know, who loved her, but, you know, she didn't stand up for herself enough and put her foot down about certain things. And you have to be strong in a relationship and firm, not like a bully, okay, because there's bullying in relationships.
Right.
But you have to be strong in who you are as a person. And my mom learned to do that after a few years, and she's wonderful, and she taught me a lot about relationships, and so did my father. But I remember creating that relationship in my ex-husband I'm thinking, okay, this is what my mom was like, and then I put my foot down, and i.e. we ended up getting a divorce, and this was many years ago. And I haven't been married mm-hmm. since, but I'm sure I'll marry one day when I meet the right guy and when I grow up. I'm going to be just like you and John.
But you may not want to. You may not want to.
Maybe.
You don't have to want to.
Maybe I'll just have a non-traditional relationship, which is okay, too. It doesn't really matter because it's really about yeah, about love and finding
right.
and being in love with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key. The other thing is that, and I heard this pretty recently, if something's not real, it doesn't exist. And if it's real, you can never destroy it. And I think that's in the Course in Miracles.
Right.
Great. And that's something that I remember. And I also want to share this with you guys, and this is so important. If you think that you can't be divorced because God's going to be against it or your higher power or your family's going to be against it, listen,
mm-hmm.
marriage, for the most part, if it's about two pieces of paper and a ceremony, is not a real marriage. I'm not saying that can't come before the marriage, but a marriage is a relationship
mm-hmm.
with two hearts together. And focusing on your creator and your higher power, however you see that. Because when you focus on each other and look for strength with that other person, then that other person is always going to let you down. It's through human nature,
right?
And it's so
right.
you focus on focus on that part of you and him or you and her that are connected with God. And then it becomes, instead of a
mm-hmm.
special relationship, I think it becomes a spiritual one, a spiritual relationship. But, you know, you have to kiss a lot of toads before you kiss the handsome prince or the beautiful princess. And I really believe now,
right.
looking back at it, I think the handsome prince, the beautiful princess, is really, really that beautiful part of yourself. And I think part of the thing that you're doing here is so. And that person that comes to you, and we're talking about personal relationships and finding closure, when you get that person is continue to magnify whatever's inside of you, not only the bad, but also the good. And it's not, and it didn't last a lifetime. But think about what you learned. Really think about all that you got. And then, you know, how you get what you want. Because most of us find out what we want by getting what we don't want. And that's the honest to God's
mm-hmm.
truth there. I mean, I wish we could come in like Buddha says, with this nothing from the past, nothing from the future, just the now. But we don't do that. And we let the stuff from our past affect us. And that's just part of life until we choose something different. So I'm going to talk to someone now. Tracy's here, and I'm going to get him on the phone. He's a friend of mine, and amazing. He was married for like 100 years, and a lot of you guys were married for 20-plus years and got divorced. And Tracy, hey, welcome to our show. I'm glad you're here, and thank you for calling in and taking time out of your day.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. Tracy's a veteran, so happy Memorial Day to you.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. All over the world. So, anyway,
yes,
talk to us. Tell us about your relationship. A lot of veterans, yeah. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to send a picture out to everybody. I'll share that with
mm-hmm.
you. Share it at the end of the show. Tracy, how long were you married?
I was married 24 years.
24 years. Wow, that's a long time.
24 years.
That's a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot of time together. Di, how long were you married? I know you were married for a few years, too. You were married for a long
I think it was like 20 years. I mean, we were just like 20. Yep, that's a long time.
It's all a long time.
I'm still friends with him, you know.
So you got divorced. You were an angry, bitter man, you told me. And share with us how someone who's angry and bitter and struggling, not wanting to go back, but the old habit of going back or wanting to go back, or someone who says, I can't do this anymore, is there any hope for somebody new? How do you get through that? Give us a couple of pointers, because I know that you've done it, doing it, and it's a process.
There is hope. I found it. I have an absolute inner peace now that I never had before. It was pretty distraught and distracting, and all the five stages of loss and grief that Google says that we go through, the last one is acceptance. And that's not easy, especially after 24 years. You have to go through that anger. You have to go through that denial and isolation. And even the bargaining process, which didn't work for me because she shut down all communication. So without communication, nothing gets fixed at all. You know, you guys know that. The bad situation turned to a good situation. Yes, I'm a veteran, and I grew up in a small town in North Carolina, and I love hunting and fishing and camping and just going out in the woods, and that's where I really connected with God, my creator, what have you. But after she left and we separated, and she took the cat that I raised from a baby and out of a dumpster in Kuwait to get back at me. I had to get through all that, and my sister,
I'm
gonna
back
my
up
best
a minute.
Friend,
hold on a second, Tracy. Now, you guys, he's really telling you, like, hitting some highlights. But Tracy walked into his house and thought his wife had helped move because they were moving. And she left
right.
him there, took the cat and all the furniture and everything, and left him by himself. So Tracy
correct.
Had zero.
I was sleeping on the floor.
He didn't know that she was moving. Now, I would have been mad as hell. And somebody just texted me, was he mad? I mean, yes, you were. Did you ever feel like he teaches people how to shoot guns, okay, because that's an excellent marksman. Did you feel like shooting
I'm an expert marksman from the military, and I'm also a certified instructor with the DOJ and the NRA in a couple states as well. But I have a lot of self-control, an amazing amount of self-control. Thanks to my little 8-year-old mother for that.
That's good. May I ask you, though, did you get mad at – because people get mad enough, and I know who you are out there. I see you on the show. He wanted to shoot his mate. Did you ever feel like, God, I wish she was gone. I wish she'd go to heaven. I wish she'd go to hell.
No.
Whatever you felt. You didn't feel
no,
like that. Yeah, I felt like that.
I don't have the carnal desire of that. I just don't.
Okay.
I was afraid to go to sleep at night though, because she knew how to handle a gun, and I had several. And there was nights that I was afraid I wasn't going to wake up the next morning.
Okay.
That's not
a
good feeling. Yeah,
no.
That's not a good feeling that I may not wake up.
No.
that's true. So how did you get through it? So did you cuss her out in your head?
Well,
did you get so mad at her?
No,
she
refused all communication. Shut down, actually tried to meet a couple times, and when we did meet with some counselors, it was a baited trap, and I was the rabbit, and I had to leave hastily from those meetings because I was being attacked and slaughtered. So I had to withdraw myself and pull myself away, but thankfully I have some really good friends and family. My best friend and his wife, I also call my other mother, they opened the door for me to move in with them, and I did. And I was there about 2 years, and it took me about, 2 to 3 years to really get past it. But the best thing for me was, and his wife, my other mother, had told me, Tracy, you need to go down by the riverbank. You need to pick a place to camp out. You need to get real with God and deal with this. Appreciate what you got out of the marriage, children and grandchildren, and then close those doors and move on. And that is exactly what I did. I found a campsite that I never been to before. I'll never go back to again. I lit a campfire. I burned pictures and love letters. And when I got up from that campsite the next morning, I slammed those doors and mentally, emotionally in me. I welded them and sealed them shut forever. And I moved on.
That's great. I like that. Di, you have a question for him? Because I know you went through something similar. Burning the love letters and pictures, that's a very Karen moment.
It's very symbolic.
You know,
yeah. I never burned anything. I threw stuff away, you know. Like
I did that
my
too.
Cleaning out my... Yeah, I like burning. I really like burning. It's funny, though.
She told me to burn, so I did.
I like that. I think it's a good symbolic gesture where you feel like you're really just you're done, you know, you're destroying that. There's no evidence
right.
left. It's like just asking.
And it wasn't out of
I
anger,
like
it was just out of completion.
Exactly. I totally see that. Yeah, I never, I didn't burn, but I threw away. But burning would have been much better.
One thing that happened in my marriage was abuse, and it was actually to the man. And I'm one of the few men that was actually abused by the woman. And that kind of belittled and undercut me, especially as a man. So I had to deal with that as well.
Right.
Tracy, let me ask you a question. And, Daya, this is good, too. I think this is a process. So you had that one big aha moment. Okay, I can close the doors here. But you recently went through something where you said in the past 2 days you were up on the, going. Tracy's a guy that loves the mountains. I mean, he lives all over the world, in the Caribbean and everywhere. But he loves the mountains, and like I love the beach, I think, as I, Di loves the mountains too, Tracy, because you're meeting your fellow friend here. But how did you, you went through something pretty recently where you, last 2 days, and where you were able to release even more, because it is a process, and I want people to understand that. This didn't happen overnight, or maybe it does, but what did you do? How did you know that there was more there, so to speak?
A friend of mine, that I have known for 20-some years. He's a great counselor, spiritual, et cetera. And I had an issue lately with a really close friend, and I felt like dirt. And I said, sir, I feel like dirt. I was wrong in this situation. What do I do? I try to be very transparent, and I invite people to openly, politely rebuke me if I need it. And I've always found that useful, actually. It helps you. We always want to be better, not be stuck in the mud. And so he emailed me a list of things to do. And so a couple days ago, I turned off my phone so nobody would interfere with me. And I opened my laptop, and I went through that list of things, and I internally, mentally, spiritually, if you will, dealt with every issue that anybody had done against me of rejection, hate, anger, bitterness, manipulation, control, and constant stuff like that. And one by one, I went over them, I dealt with them, and I got rid of them. And, Diane, instead of the fire in the apartment this time, I flushed those down the toilet.
Oh, that's good. That's even better. Shithole where it belongs. Yeah.
Cut it all up.
That's
it
too
the
funny. That's perfect.
That's funny. That's funny.
That is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Di.
The poly stuff is awesome because you feel better. You feel good about it. I mean, it is like burning old photos or stuff like that. It's just I don't know. It's just a new lease on life.
There you go.
I felt a whole lot better, actually, than before, and I think that was just exactly what the doctor ordered, and felt great, and I have even more hope of future friendships, relationships, what have you, than I have before.
Right.
That's right.
Well, plus, you're getting rid of the old bad feeling, the old
anger.
Yes, ma'am. So that's what you have to do.
It takes a process.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, does it ever? It does, definitely does. I don't know how people say, I got over that in a couple months. Well, they must not have been that, had that much invested in that other person if you can get over somebody in a couple months. I mean, it takes me at least a year, but I mean, it takes a long time because it's like Tari and I were talking before we got on the show. It's like first, it's like you're obsessed. It's like all you can think about is that person. And then it's like, okay, you're kind of going back and forth. You have some days where you're obsessed, some days you can think about it, something different. And it's like this slow process that finally one day you realize, wow, I haven't thought about that person in a few days, and it's shocking. It's shocking to you when you realize, oh, my God, I'm actually not obsessing over this person anymore. And then it happens. But it's definitely a process.
I thankfully have a really good sister. She's I'm the baby in the family. I have a brother and a sister, and my sister is older than me, and she's she's my rock. I can call her, and be upset. She can she has a phenomenal ability. She's a nurse, and so she took psychology and nursing. And my mom and I jokingly say she should have majored in psychology and minored in nursing because she's that good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
she's my counselor when I'm all twisted up, if I get that way. And she has got a phenomenal ability to help me to see through all the muck and the junk and make a plan and refocus my goals and shoot forward and go. And she really helped me those two or three years as well.
Yeah, you need somebody, I think, or most of us do. Most of us need somebody to help us, you know, refocus because it's easy to obsess. It really is.
After that happened to me, there was only three women in the world I didn't hate. That was my mom, my sister, and my daughter.
Exactly, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
I hate to admit but it's true. There for a moment, it was true.
We're going to run out of time here in a couple of minutes, too. Close the show with a couple things here. So finding your higher power, whether it's your higher part of yourself, God, your angels, or whatever, was really key in finding out why this happened, right, and what you needed to look at. You made a list. In finding a group of friends or one friend that can help you to work through this. And then communication is key too as well, and not living in anger, working on the anger. So your friends helped you with that. What's a couple other things, Di, that we talked about today? Because he said something I want to end with, but that was really clear to me, and my father told me the same thing. But what are a couple other things that you think are important, whether it's from Tracy or yourself, to go through this process, and it is a process? What do you feel?
Well, I did a variety of things. I did a lot of praying, a lot of meditation. I used angel cards a lot. Anything you can do to focus your mind on positive things and try to find the positive learning experience that you got from the relationship, and that way you're not focused on the negative, hard feelings that you walked away with. You're focused on, okay, this is what I learned, and this is how I'm applying it going forward. So that in itself, I think, was key for me. It always is for me out of any hurtful situation is to say, okay, what am I learning? What was I supposed to learn from this? And making sure that I'm taking that going forward with me so I don't have to repeat that lesson.
Nice. I get you. That's good. Tracy, you said something to me tonight, or said to Di and I, and to the show and to all the listeners, and that will download it now or download it later, and that are listening now. You said being transparent. I think that when you can be transparent in a relationship, and that's something I struggle with myself, is huge. Tell me what's right. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's on your heart, and tell me what's on your mind. So being transparent, I think, is key in any relationship. But it's also key in finding closure in the one that you're leaving or the one that you've left. He may or she may have found closure and you're still struggling with it. And so being transparent. Cool. Tracy told me something a few weeks ago. He says, nobody knows how loyal I am, how much love I have to give, and how much romance I have inside of me. I was like, I want to be like that. You have to show me.
I know.
I like to be like that. That's sweet. Awesome. I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what are you doing for Veterans Day, Tracy? Are you having to do anything special?
I was invited to go fishing tomorrow, and another friend invited me to come over for a cookout. Not quite sure what I'm going to do. I may go fishing as well.
There you go. How about you, Di?
No,
are you working?
I am working, and I'm going to take. Yeah, I'm actually taking also to my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter and son-in-law's mom off to the airport to go to France. So I'll be waving Lila off to France tomorrow.
Aw, how nice is that?
So that'll
cool.
be cool. And the crossing is that the 9-month-old is good on the airplane.
There you go. Well, tomorrow I'm running, and my goal is to run 20 races by the time by the end of November. And one of those races I'm going to count as a mini triathlon that I'm going to do. I think it's a mini. I'm not even sure now. So, but I'm running in a race tomorrow, and I'm super excited about it. It's for Memorial Day, so I always like to run for something. Like, you know, the last race I ran was, it was really for people that starting that were athletes that were just starting to run. This marathon, or, you know, what I'm doing tomorrow, this 5K, it's a little 5K run. I'm super excited about it because it's at a great park, and it'll give me a chance to work on my speed. I'm running for the veterans, mm-hmm. in memory of the veterans that were, because I lost uncles and my dad was in, you know, in the service military, and so there's a lot of friends and other family members. So that's the ones that were, the ones that will be, and the ones that are there now. So that's what I'm going to do that for. Anyway, you guys, everybody enjoy the rest of your Memorial Weekend. And if you download it later, have a safe Memorial Weekend now. Have a safe Memorial Weekend tomorrow too as well. And enjoy the food and everything. And have a great now. And our next show will be Tuesday night at 8:30. It's all about manifesting, making things happen, and using the angels. If you want to call me and have any questions or show ideas, because this is somebody else's show idea, great show idea, Destiny, and we appreciate her. She's went through a breakup and found closure, and she says you should do a show about that to help everybody. I was like, okay, cool. So I hope what we said tonight and what Tracy shared helps you guys. Listen, if you're listening now or later, please go to our show, blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches, and like our show, because they send you things, they give you show ideas, they send you other free gifts and the whole thing. But what it's going to do is you're going to see what we're going to, we've got some special shows coming up in the next little bit. We're going to start doing Transformational Thursday, where you see people that are doing a whole mind, body, spirit transformation and what their lives and what's going on with them. And we've got Tuesday night, and of course, you have Sunday with Di and I, where we're talking about relationships, all aspects of. Go and purchase our book on Amazon.com. You can do it with Cherie Abbott or Diane Bucci. And the name of the book, Di, go ahead, because you say it so much better than me. It's all good.
You mean there's a law that says he has to be attracted to me?
There you go. It's really good, and we worked hard on it, and there you can get it, or you can go to angelcoaches.org and get it there. Tracy read the book, and he never reads, so anyway, that's a whole story with that, so we appreciate that, Tracy. And you guys have a great now. Like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/angelcoaches, and if you have any show ideas, we would love to hear what you have to share or what we'd like to hear. Take care, everybody, and have a great Memorial Day weekend. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.